I'm Issa Rae. I'm a writer, producer, and I dabble in digital content, television, and film. And first experimented with crowdfunding with my web series, The Misadventures of Awkward Black Girl, where we made our goal $30,000 and we raised almost $60,000. And since then, I've just been a believer.
In the crowdfunding movement.
Completely.
Absolutely.
And even now, I'm using crowdfunding in a different way, via Patreon, which is more of a subscription model with rewards and, you know, just experimenting with that. And so far we've raised $5,000 in 2 months, so it's fun.
Nice. We're definitely going to dip a little bit more into that. Just starting, can you give us a little bit more of the nitty-gritty on what your project was? Let's focus on the Kickstarter for right now.
Sure. For the Kickstarter, we I started the season with no money. It was mostly favors and then bringing on a producer who was also doing favors and didn't have a lot of money to put into the project and our cast. And by the time our sixth episode came around, we just exhausted all favors and money and just didn't feel right. Continue to ask people to work for free for such long hours. And I just had negative money in my account. And so someone suggested that we try Kickstarter. And I was skeptical initially because I never asked anybody for money, and much less strangers on the internet for money, and was concerned that, you know, there is a stigma in the Black community about asking for handouts, which is how it's perceived in some cases. But our cinematographer was like, you know, you guys have then on average 60,000 viewers. So if half of those people gave a dollar, you'd have $30,000. So make that your goal and see what happens. And we did, and we did a 30-day option, and it felt like we were racing against time, but we were very, very active, and our audience was extremely supportive. And we announced the Kickstarter at the end of an episode with a huge cliffhanger. So we're like, if you want to see the season continue, you want to find out what happens, donate here. And people went crazy, and they were like, donate, everybody donate. We have to see what happens. And so that really, really helped. And it became a movement. So we were very blessed in that regard.
As so many campaigns do, especially when they're successful. So with all yes. The different platforms that are out there, what really made you go for Kickstarter?
Well, I really like the all or nothing aspect because it put a lot of responsibility on the viewers. You know, we talk a lot, and I think our language was very much shaped in nostalgia. You know, we were like, we missed these shows in the 90s. We missed Martin Living Single, Fresh Prince. We complain constantly about there not being a solid representation of us. So now it's on you to pay money to continue that. Awkward Black Girl, we feel like we fit in that. And we pay tribute to those series constantly throughout. So it's your responsibility now to put your money where your mouth is. If you're complaining, then please donate and help us continue. And people really fed into that. And we were genuine. And so Kickstarter, and it's all or nothing, like, no matter what, even if we raise $29,000, if we don't hit that 30, then we don't get any of it, I think really helped to get the message across.
Yeah, moving people along. From conception to pushing that that launch button, that very real launch button before Kickstarter, you know, kind of walk us through whatever your process was from the conception to making it live.
You know, it's so true. It's extremely scary. And we had a plan. We knew that we were going to engage our audience, but I did this with my producing partner at the time, Tracy, and I just accidentally pressed launch, to be honest. She was like, you know, I want you to proofread this and make sure that we're cool where language is concerned. And I was like, okay, for sure. And so I did, and then I pressed launch, and then I was like, okay, yeah, everything went good. I pressed launch. And she was like, you pressed launch? What? And so I was like, yeah, I just thought that, you know, it would just be posted. And so that put us into action. She was like, we need to get on it. Like, you didn't tell us we were going to press launch, so now we have to, like, completely get on it. If you don't raise 10% within the first 24 hours, then it's already a fail. So only now in retrospect did I realize, oh gosh, we should have put a little bit more planning into the time, because I think I launched it at like 2:11 p.m. or something. It was just such a random time, but and it ended up working out.
That's awesome. That's awesome. What are your fears? I mean, it is really, like I said, pressing launch is that big red button, but even throughout the whole duration of your project and the crowdfunding, you know, the whole process, what were some of your fears that you went through?
I mean, you know this better than anyone, but it's failure.
Yeah.
Because we were one of the first web series of color to raise money this way, and it got a lot of press attention. I think that really helped, too. Because people were like, you know, support this series. And if we failed, then, one, that's embarrassing. And, two, we wouldn't have any money to continue the series, and it'd be heartbreaking. So that was huge, that fear of failure. And then just some of the comments, you know, the negativity. I think that was another big fear. I was like, people are going to be like, what do you need money for? And that was the case. People were like, why do y'all need money? Like, I don't understand what the problem is. You've been doing fine just now. They don't understand the cost. And, you know, that's no fault of theirs. It kind of is, actually. It's like, do the research before you start coming at me. But at the same time, like, that negativity really was, it was almost paralyzing. Like, well, I don't want people to talk mess, so maybe I shouldn't do it at all. And,
yeah.
You know, that's dumb at the end of the day, to let people's negative words influence your decisions moving forward. But we were just met with so much positivity that all of my fears were just put aside.
That's good. Something that we're going to be talking about a lot in crowdfunding masterminds, and I'm really going to be kind of manning this ship because I think it's something very, very important, especially for specific demographics. How did you approach the psychology of asking your community for help? And you touched on this a little bit already, but there is a psychology to this.
Mm-hmm.
And how did you kind of navigate on a personal level?
I mean, honestly, I have to bring it back to me. Like, I complain a lot about what I don't see. And if someone were to present me a solution, or at least something in the right direction, and I didn't contribute to that, then I look stupid. I just look like I was a shit talker. And so framing it in that language and being like, you have to be the change that you wish to see. You have to put your money where your mouth is if you really want to, if you're serious about change. I think that language really helps. And now in continuing crowdfunding efforts, it's just, you know, I'm treating it like a monthly contribution in a way where we're giving you free content. And the content still is free, but like an NPR or a public radio station, you have to pay your dues every month. And that's what helps keep us in business. We can't do this without support. And I don't like the language of help. I don't like, please, you know, help me, I'm poor, that kind of thing. I think that we just have to make people feel like a responsibility to help. I mean, not help, but to continue to really allow us to thrive.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this money is going towards. It's going towards the future. It's going towards change. It's going towards making sure that we're seeing what we want to see.
Absolutely. Did you link with any outside influencers or any press specifically that kind of popped up throughout your campaign or that you had lined up before? You guys had an awesome viewership and a substantial number. So I'm wondering if you kind of combined forces with any influencers or, you know, what happened along the road.
We did intentionally. Like, we gave Clutch Magazine and Shadow and Act were huge in terms of supporting us and posting the episodes consistently throughout the first season. And so when we had the campaign, we posted it and we gave them a heads up, like, hey, this is what we're doing. And they were generous enough to post it because they had been already. But for the most part, in this time around, no, we didn't consciously pair up with anybody. We should have. That could have made it stronger. And, you know, considering going forward now, I'd love to consider, like, try that out. So you just gave me an idea. So thanks for that.
No problem. Yeah, that's something we're definitely going to be talking about, especially for people who don't have that culture kind of already built and that viewership and followers already built into their project, of seeing what type of, you know, headway you can make by actually teaming up with other people who may have it, and seeing if it helps. What type of, and this is slightly different question, what type of media did you use to promote your campaign? We know that Awkward Black Girl was a web series, but were there any other types of media that you used to promote the campaign specifically?
Besides social media, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube?
Well, social media in the gamut of everything, but was it just video? Like, for instance, an example is there are some campaigns in which, you know, video may not be inclusive in their actual project display on Kickstarter, on an Indiegogo or GoFundMe. It may be all words. It may be all photography. How do you feel that video kind of plays into that, into what media you use to help promote your campaign to your potential backers?
I mean, video was absolutely essential because I had, you know, the subscription base. Because, I mean, Kickstarter allows you to do your own video and keep it on Kickstarter, but we put it on YouTube as well. We gave constant updates, as you're encouraged to do. And, I mean, that's just a platform that people were used to seeing. But, you know, on the side, we still did a lot of outreach to our personal networks. Like, I reached out to Stanford, where our, and that's me and Tracy's alma mater, and they were very helpful in terms of spreading word of mouth about our campaign, and just general Facebook and Twitter. But it's always, you know, you're constantly walking a fine line between, like, am I talking about this too much? Or are people getting tired of it? But you just have to really get the word out while you can.
Yeah, everything is like that click, that clock is ticking as soon as it starts. What
right.
made the decision for you to shift from the Kickstarter platform to the one that you're on now? If you could kind of like tell a little bit about how Patreon works from the insider's point of view and why you made that decision.
Sure. So Patreon is essentially Kickstarter monthly. And you can set milestone goals. People can still contribute. They can pledge certain amounts, anywhere from, mine goes from $2 to $100, but you can start it as low as $1 or whatever you want, and you offer them rewards every month. And the reason I like this is because Kickstarter and Indiegogo both seem very one-off, and I know that my content is consistent, and I wanted to, and I know that just if I did a subscription-based model alone, people aren't as inclined or wouldn't be as inclined to give if they didn't get something in return. And so Patreon allows you to do that. So I know that I need money consistently. I have numerous creators on the site that I'm distributing their content, and YouTube AdSense alone isn't enough to pay the bills. And so this allows me an opportunity, in addition to YouTube AdSense, to offer my content creators, more money. Because they get a percentage of the split because I'm advertising Patreon on their shows. So the higher it gets, the more they get paid, the more we can fund second seasons. And it's not a one-off thing like, okay, thanks for your money, we're out. It's like, you know what's up. You know we're constantly giving you consistent content. So help us by giving consistent money.
Okay. And how have you found the reception to that?
It's been great. It's, you know, because there's not the same sense of urgency, it's way slower. But as long as you change up the rewards, I'm finding, because we're having content subscription boxes specific to certain shows. So as long as you change up the rewards and you keep people motivated, I'm still struggling with constantly promoting it. But I need to get over that and do it. But yeah, the urgency isn't necessarily the same. But it's great because, you know, I have consistent money coming in monthly, like I said, that I can share, and that feels good.
That's awesome. That's awesome. In retrospect, what's one thing that you would have done differently?
In my past campaign?
In Kickstarter.
For Kickstarter, I would have been less shy. I didn't reach out to everyone in my network that I could have. I really relied on just the internet to promote, but I should have reached out to, like, and even hearing you talking about reaching out to ex-boyfriends and stuff during the panel, I should have reached out to every single person and not been shy, because I don't ask for a lot. I don't. There's some people that, you know, that are just in my life, but I don't necessarily ask them for stuff. So I should have used that one favor, but I still can down the line.
Yeah, absolutely. And last question, if you had to give your own set of advice for a newcomer, let's really focus on somebody who hasn't done a crowdfunding campaign before, they're trying to get some information on it, they're a little skeptical or scared, what's some advice that you would give them?
To sign up for this seminar? That's it. I mean, if they're already in the seminar and they're listening to this, I mean, to really just continue to ask questions, continue to know your audience and the audience that you want to target, find out what it is that they want. I think rewards play a huge part in getting people over that hump of hesitancy, where they're like, "Oh, I don't know if I need to do it, but I get this. That's kind of cool." Because even with Spike Lee's campaign, I was going to support anyway, but as his rewards started to get better and better, I was like, "Oh man, I really do want this, so maybe I will pay that extra fee to get this poster, this autograph poster, because it means something to me." So
Yeah.
considering your audience and who they are and trying to accommodate what it is that they want helps.
Great sound advice, especially for newcomers. Well, I want to thank you for your time and your contribution to Crowdfunding Masterminds. It's a pleasure as always. And we look forward. I think I speak on behalf of not just myself and Ariel, but also of the listening audience and our students for Crowdfunding Masterminds. We really look forward to what you got up your sleeve.
Well, thank you, and likewise, you guys are amazing, and I just love that you're just taking the reins and making shit happen. So, my pleasure.